Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
No, Randall was in a hurry, Niamh.
I know he was.
Yes, he has stuff to do out in Dunsany. Great to see you.
It's great to be seen.
So you came down from Carrickfergus.
I did. I drove down and at my leisure to get here.
Hop, skip and a jump.
Hop, skip and jump. Just not that far.
No, not that far at all.
My mum and dad live down the road down in Dunsany.
Right. I see. So you know this part of the country.
I know this road.
and we sort of said, come on down. We're in Navan. It's not too far away. But really, we wanted you to sit down and talk to us about the Eurovision and what you thought. We tricked you into being here.
Do you know what's really funny about that? I literally walked in and I said, I managed to get through not talking about the Eurovision very much this year. Actually, I really loved it. This is the first year I've sat for a long time as a punter watching it, which was really nice. Yeah. I love when I have what I call a down year. So because last year was very busy, obviously.
Because it was in Liverpool. 30th. Yeah.
And no, but it was the 30th anniversary for me.
Yes.
And it's Paul and Charlie's year this year.
Yes.
And Riverdance, of course.
Yeah.
So I thought this year I'd sit back a bit and I'd other stuff to do, which was nice. So myself and my husband and my friend were watching the Eurovision like punters, and I loved every minute of it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. It was, you know, as a feeling to be actually involved, very quiet, great to see something new and different from us, you know, because every year they say, what are we going to do, Niamh? So clearly what we have to do is let people do their thing in this country.
See, there you go.
and that's clearly what we have to do.
And
I thought Michael Keely did an amazing job.
Yeah.
Because he had a very diverse range of people on the late for the Eurofinal. And I hope it makes his job easier for people to actually, you know, other artists to go, why don't we do that?
I think you're right. I think it'll encourage people to come out of the woodwork.
I really hope so.
And take part in the Eurovision.
I mean, there's no point in wheeling us out forever, Ray. I mean, at some point, you're going to be sick looking at this face.
No, but you look, come on, we'll never tire of watching you singing In Your Eyes in Mill Street. 31 years ago.
It's like when you turn, you know, 22 or 56 as I am.
So
now,
you were in the middle.
I was the meat and the sandwich, as
yes,
they say, yes.
So Charlie and Paul, three years in a row.
Yeah, the four of us would have done shows a lot together.
Because
actually, I don't think any other country will ever make three in a row.
That won't happen.
It won't, because even now it's quite difficult to go 2 years in a
yes,
row.
You yeah, know, yeah, it, yeah.
Because there's too many countries involved and the whole of the world is voting now.
Wasn't it mad back in the day, though? And I remember Mary Kennedy got on the third one.
I know.
And she said, welcome to the annual Eurovision Song Contest from Dublin.
And we only had a break of a year, to be fair, because then Emer won.
Yes,
And, you know, Fionnuala was in the Norwegian
Secret
entry.
Garden.
So technically we won 5 years in a row. But, you know, obviously.
Yeah. So it is great, because I always believe that we had it in us. And what Michael Keely did brilliantly this year was let Bambi Thug do their own thing.
Yes, and I think that was essential. And to be fair to Michael, I think that's what he wants. He wants people to come with their creative ideas. He wants people to be themselves on stage. I want people to be themselves on stage. I don't want carbon copies of me, because, you know, that's not necessary. I think that doesn't reflect the whole of the country. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't even reflect who I am now. Do you understand?
Imagine if you were entering now, what the things you'd have to do.
The
hoops you'd have to jump through, literally, probably.
Do you know when I went back in 2010, I was laughing about the fact that a few years later, when Conchita won with the beard, I said if I'd only let my facial hair grow, it wouldn't be fine. I might have won in 2010. I think music should reflect its time, and it's not necessarily everything's happening here.
Yeah.
But I think it should move on. Eurovision should.
And we're going to move on for the Eurovision.
Yes.
Just one more question.
Yes.
I've been saying that the Eurovision has become something different over the last few years, in that it is now a real window, a shop window for people to show off their wares.
Without a doubt.
And that people are getting global success as a result of featuring in the Eurovision. And I think the standard of songs is gone through the roof.
It's essential.
The standard of production,
wonderful.
Everything.
Brilliant.
Do you think? Do you agree?
Yes, I agree. Yeah. I completely agree.
Yeah.
And I think actually what you forget is you don't have to win, because actually you only need like hundreds of millions of people watch this.
Yeah.
So 1% of people like what you do.
Well, there's that song Snap from, I think, last year.
Last year. She was amazing.
Yeah. She didn't win. She was in top five or something.
She was fantastic. But you don't have to win.
Yeah.
That's the point. You don't have to win to be successful. And you don't necessarily have to be top of the charts all the time to be successful in the industry. You just have to be doing your thing.
Yeah. So how are you other than the Eurovision?
Well, obviously just before Eurovision, I finished my Camino. Now, I know you were desperate for me to do the run today, but I'll not be running. Running's not my thing, but I...
Well, you can walk it. I could walk it,
but it'll be a little bit slower than what you're doing now, to be fair.
We had Pat yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
82.
Walked
it. Amazing.
I'd probably be a little bit fascinated, but maybe not. But actually, myself and my friend, we a few years ago decided to walk the Portuguese Camino. So right. We literally walked from Lisbon all the way up to Santiago, which is about, on the certificate it says 634 kilometres, but actually it's somewhere near 700 by the time we were finished. We logged our steps, our right. floors every day. And it was, but it's the feeling of that's your job all day to get somewhere. And then I'm not going to lie, a certificate or some sort yes. of medal at the end of a thing is a lovely thing.
That's but brilliant. It's, would you do it again?
Yes, I would. But I think we'll do something slightly different next time. We will do maybe.
Did you do it with the hubby?
No. We
friends.
No, we myself and my friend, we walk every day. We have done. I've walked since the kids are very small. I make sure every day I walk
yeah.
between 5 and 10 kilometres. I love it. It just gets you out of your head and gets everything back into the space that you want to be. I mean, people get it from different things in their lives, but I love the walk. Initially, it was because I had the dog and the dog needed walked. But actually, it's how
Where's
I
the
live.
Dog now?
Well, unfortunately, the dog has passed and I'm too busy now, so I might have not got the new dog, but I still have my friend, and I'm not saying she's a dog, but, yeah, but we enjoy the walk. She has the dog.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
we started doing the challenge a few years ago, and it's such an amazing thing to do. It's not, it can be spiritual, people do it for different reasons, but actually the fact that that's your job all day is yeah. so good. It's the best reset you can do, really. So
634
kilometres officially, but actually it was near 700.
Right. So you didn't do that, you did it over a number of years. That
yeah, we did, right. because we are time poor, really.
Ah,
In order to do that in one lump, I'd have to go missing for a month.
Yeah.
And, you know, people would cry. That's, you can't be, you know, it's great if you have that. One day we'll do that. Maybe next year we'll do the one from Siena to Rome.
And your children are grown up now?
Yeah, 21 and 23 now. They're men,
right.
basically. I feel they're grown.
Have they left, though?
Well, one of them left for a while. He's back. And the other fella's in Manchester. So I get proof of life off him occasionally off for text if I remind him. And the older fella, he's home. He's kind of just waiting. He's just figuring out what he wants to do when he grows up. But so is my husband, who's 67. So that's okay. I think, to be honest, I think you should always be curious and doing whatever. And
yeah.
he's great in the house in the sense that he's like the Scarlet Pimperlin. So I know he lives there. But
cause is your husband?
Him as well. The youngest fella. Because
right.
the food is gone. Yes. And there's laundry, but no, do you know what, as an experience, actually, it's really nice because we're kind of cohabiting, but I have to remind him occasionally that his cohabitors would like him to clean up after him.
Yes, yeah.
But you know, to be Good honest with you, we're very lucky because in your 20s you should be out living your life, really.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What were we doing in our 20s? We were on the road most of the
time. Yeah, well, Jean, yeah,
we were gigging all the time, so we weren't at home. I used to arrive in for 6 hours, like from 2 o'clock in the morning till 8 when I had to go back over to the bank. Yeah. So that, you know, so at that age, that's what I was doing. So why would you not be wanting the same for them?
But what, the energy we had, you know, the energy.
I know, I'm tired even thinking about it.
But you know, you do a gig in Castlebar and you drive home after.
I do, and I still do a lot of that.
Oh, do you?
Every now and then I stay. Now, to be honest, I'd say you stayed after Kerry, did you? Did you?
I did. But I remember doing Clonakilty one night and driving back.
Oh yeah, no, I still do that occasionally. Yeah. No, because I know I'm friends down there, I'll stay. Yeah. And actually, because of the price of accommodation, you're more inclined to come home now.
Yeah.
But you just get used to it. I used to go up and down the road to Cork regularly because obviously I had a lot of work down there initially, and then of course in the gig world, they never put your next gig in Cork.
Go on.
You'd have been in Derry the next night or something. Yeah. So you always had somewhere else to be going, and usually late night. So it's just the way it was.
But you say to your agent, did you do geography at secondary school? Obviously not.
I know. They just throw pins at the wall.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know what the idea behind it is, because it's unlikely people from Kerry are going to go to Cork. You could have even done that. But anyway, say
yes.
no more.
Yeah.
Say no more.
Yeah.
Anyway, but you know, it's an interesting thing, actually, what people do now. And I must say, I much prefer the leisurely form of life. That's what I want.
Now, part of your leisurely form of life is your podcast with Corrode. Is that still going?
Yes, it's still going.
Agony Rants.
We were highly commended last year.
Well done.
We were nearly, the two Johnnies beat us, but we have them in our sights.
So wherever you get your podcasts, Niamh Kavanagh and Corrode, and they just have a good old laugh.
We solve problems too, right?
Yes.
We are agony ants.
You're not qualified, but
no.
You're
But I have a tell me face. People tell me things. It's great.
I have a tell me face.
Right. I guarantee you half an hour you'd be telling me all of your conversations, whether you like it or not.
Well, my wife tells me I have one of those faces as well. So there's two of us. So what happens when two tell me faces meet?
I don't know. There's just lots of stuff told.
No, nothing happens, you see.
Nothing.
Nothing happens. It's a stand off. It's like two negatives.
What are you saying, Ray? Yeah. We cancel each other out.
Right, yeah. Niamh, great to see you.
You too.
Niamh Kavanagh there. And we're going to take a quick... It is a commercial break this time. It is, yes.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.